I'm on. Awesome. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. It's a treat to be here. Well, if you didn't know, my name is Wally. I'm a youth pastor here. Will's not here. He's an extremely anointed man, so to stand on the stage just to be able to speak is just an honor. I just thank you guys for being here. I just want to honor our pastors. They're on the road right now driving to Galveston, and I just want to say thank you guys for allowing me to be up here, and we love you and we miss you. And it's so awesome that they can go on a trip and they can feel okay. I mean, I don't know why they chose me, but they chose me. If you're new here, thank you guys for coming. You're going to actually get to see me for 2 weeks. I've never actually got to do back-to-back lessons, so it's going to be a lot of fun for me. So in preparing for this, Will was going to have somebody else speak for the second week, and he just looked at me and was like, you want to just do both weeks? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do both. This is crazy, but about 8 months ago, God laid this on my heart to speak about, and he said, as soon as you get to do more than one at a time, you're going to speak about this, and the very next one, Will says to do that. So what he laid on my heart was pretty crazy. I was doing a study, and it was over really the Israelites. And the Israelites just coming out and everything. I was thinking, man, how much is that just like who we are and everything? So I thought that'd be a lot of fun. So I started doing study. I didn't know if you knew, but the Israelites coming out of Egypt all the way through till they got the promised land, there's 4 books of the Bible. Well, I have 2 weeks, and I started freaking out. Like, how in the world do you speak over 4 books of the Bible in 2 weeks? There's no possible way you can do that. And I literally felt God's hands, both of them, get on my shoulders. You know how your parents do, and they just want to calm you down. And he's just like, it's okay. I got you. Just start writing. Just start going. So thank God for anybody who's a Bible scholar. We're not doing 4 books of the Bible. We're staying in Exodus, and we're only going to about Exodus 20 in 2 weeks. So still, it's a lot for me to cover. It's going to be a little bit different than what I normally do. I usually tell a lot of stories. I'm just a goofball up here and have a good one-liner, or a hitter, or something that gets everybody really deep. It's going to be kind of like a Bible study today. So, in saying that, if you have your word, please open it to Exodus. Before we get started, though, I want to pray. Father, I don't have to ask for your anointing because it's already here. Your presence is here. Your spirit is here with us. I just ask you just help us in this moment push all distractions aside. That you would let us not worry about the things from later or what happened before. You'd let us just connect with you right now. Because all those things will happen when they're supposed to happen. But right now, we're here to honor you and learn about you and grow with you. Just show us your direction today, Father. Don't let us miss that thing we would miss with the distraction, but let us truly just invite you and your spirit, even if we're not used to it. You would show us what we need to see today in this lesson, whether it be one thing or a lot of things. Man, we just thank you so much. In your name, amen. Awesome. Well, I want to tell you guys kind of the embarrassing thing that inspired me to actually go through this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. And Will says this all the time. So I went through this period when I got saved at the very beginning. It was really awesome. Man, I just dove in. And every night I would read the word. For a year, 2 years straight, I just devoured the Bible. I mean, I just started reading and reading and reading. I think I went through it twice in a year. Man, I just enjoyed it. Well, then I felt like, okay, I read the Bible. So then I just started kind of going to church. I just done the church thing where I would go when the pastor would talk about whatever was going on. Well, I kind of knew the story. I could fiddle around the Bible or find it. I kind of knew the story. And it was kind of an embarrassing thing, which I didn't know it at the time, but I kind of got to the point to where I was like, well, I know the word. I don't really need to open it anymore. I'm good. I can just listen to the pastor and I'm good. Go to church and I'm good. I wouldn't write down what he would say. I was good. And then I became a youth pastor. And you know, the only time I opened my Bible was for a lesson. I just felt like this, you know, I'm just going to seep in whatever he has for me, and I'm just going to be good with that. Has anybody ever been there? Can anybody relate with that kind of a little bit? I went through a very long period of my life doing that. It's kind of an embarrassing thing, to be honest. And it was really dumb, and I don't want anybody to ever do something like that. So my whole reason for doing this and what I'm about to do is to show you why I have a fire to read now. Because the word isn't just somebody else's story. It's your story. When I read that, I said, all scripture, as I read it now, and you can ask my kids, every morning we do a Bible study together, and we'll just go through a chapter, and I relate it to them, because everything in scripture relates to you if you allow it to. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to take Exodus, I'm going to jump a little bit, I'm going to start in 1, 2, 3, but I'm just going to jump really quick, and we're going to get to Exodus 13. And I'm just going to kind of give you a whole overview. If you don't know Exodus, this will kind of give you an understanding of what's going on. We ain't going to really talk about Moses a lot because Will did an amazing job. If you guys go back through his messages, he did an amazing job on Moses. And that'd be great for you to go. But what we're going to do is we're going to start in Exodus 1. And being like a Bible study in the youth, if I ask you a question, please answer. It's okay. Don't be scared. If one person knows the answer, it's okay. Just be scared. It's okay. All right, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you guys are ready for this. Come on, you guys ready for a little bit of this?
Yeah.
Come on. Awesome. So in Exodus 1, it talks about Pharaoh. The Israelites are in Egypt, and Pharaoh has all the Israelites oppressed. He has them there. They're slaves to him. Whatever he wants to do, they're slaves, and they have to do whatever he says to do. So he's got them oppressed. And Exodus 2, this is when Moses comes on the scene. And, you know, they were killing babies, and Moses was spared to live. And in doing so, he ended up getting raised in Pharaoh's own home. Does anybody know how long he was in Pharaoh's home for? It was pretty long. About 40 years. He was there for about 40 years, so we got to learn their ways. And in those 40 years, he knew he was special. And he knew that it was time in his mind. It was time to step out. And when he was going to step out, he killed an Egyptian that was messing with an Israelite. And he found out it wasn't time, because then he had to run. So then he left for about 40 more years, and that's when we come to the burning bush. I'm sure most everybody have heard about the burning bush. So he's 80 years old, burning bush, and as he learns from the burning bush what he's supposed to do, he goes back into Egypt. And then what happens? The 10 plagues. He's got the 10 plagues. So the 10 plagues happen. He's telling the Israelites, we're leaving, we're going to the promised land. On the 10th plague, you know that, does anybody know the 10 plagues? Could you say all the 10 plagues in a row? So I'm just kidding. She was going for it though. She's like, I think I've 1, 2, 3. I don't know if I could do all of them in a row, but... But the last one was where they had put the blood on the doorpost. And that was when, you know, the firstborn died, Pharaoh's son died, the cattle, everything, they were dying. So Pharaoh is just broke. So he kicks them out. He's just like, get out, I'm done, leave. So the Israelites are like, all right, let's leave. So we are going to go and we're going to start on Exodus 13, 17 is going to be my first one I'm going to read. Now, does anybody know how long the Israelites were in Egypt? 430 years, yeah. 430 years. So, let's say, every single one of them, nobody's probably older than 430 that was leaving. That's all they knew, right? They just knew how to be slaves. So, everything that they knew, they were leaving. That was my first point. Israel's leaving what they known to follow God's plan for them. I know that when I first got saved, I had no clue what God's plan was. But he turned me a certain direction for me to follow. And then it tells you, it says that, let me read this part. In Exodus 13, 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God didn't lead them on the road to the Philistines country, though that was the shorter route. You know, sometimes the shorter route just isn't always the best route. But doesn't it feel like it should be, though? I know that when I'm driving, I'm mapping everything out. I'm just like, you know, if I start here, I just got to go through here. And we just feel like that's the best route to go, but that's not what God did. He didn't do it, for one thing, because they were baby Christians. They were coming out of Egypt, and if they would have went straight, they would have went in the Philistine country, which the Philistines would have put up a fight. How many of you know that if you walk into a battle a day after you got released and you just become known God and everything like that, hit a battle, how many people do you think would have turned around and went back? I mean, it would probably have been overwhelming, the odds and everything, but God takes them the long way around. When he takes them the long way around, there's purpose in that, the long way. There's really a lot of purpose in the long way. Why do you think he takes us the long way out sometimes? It's to build character. The delays have a purpose for creating character. He values you so much, he wants to take time with you. That's how important you are to him. Let that sink in just a little bit. He cares for me so much, even if I have to go the long route, he's going to take time with me because he's got something special to develop inside of me. Now, as I do this and I read this and I talk about this, please think about how this applies to you, because every single sentence I'm going to talk about, I'm going to turn it back around and show you how it applies to you this day. I mean, this is like 5,000 years ago. But what they went through and the dumb decisions they made and the way they reacted or whatever, it's just how we do it. Yeah. And sometimes you don't feel connected in the word. This is how you get connected in the word. You put yourself in these pages and these words and you see how I'm there and how this makes sense for me. He will make you ready for what you need. Delay usually is simply preparation. Because honestly, he's preparing you for whatever you're about to go through, because you're not ready for what comes tomorrow. You made it through yesterday, but he's preparing you for something. So instead of being ready for what tomorrow brings and ready for that day and ready for this, man, if you would just simply stay in that moment and what God has for you, he'll prepare you for what it is. You guys ever been faced with a Red Sea situation? Because we're about to talk about the Red Sea, but before we do, I just want to tell you know, right now, my family, especially my wife, is going through a really, really tough time. She's been going through a physical issue for at least 2 months now. Doctors have done so many tests. They can't find anything. But yet, she can't hardly walk sometimes. She's not here with me right now. I love you, babe. I know you're probably watching online. Yesterday, she was in the ER. My mama had to take her to the ER. Thank you, mama. And today, she's just too weak to be here. You know, that can really just mess with you. Because yeah. To be honest, I got some really tough test results back on myself, too, in the last week. But my focus isn't going to be on what's going on physically in that way. My focus is going to be on what is God going to show me through this and who is he through this. Because if I stay in that hurt, if I stay in the, oh my gosh, this is going on, I miss the lesson and I miss what God's trying to do through us. Because man, this is just an attack of the enemy, isn't it? Do we have to accept the attacks of the enemy? Nah, he's shaking his head right there, young man right there. No, exactly, we don't have to accept the attacks of the enemy. We just gotta call it out. And I'm believing for complete and total healing in my family. You guys believe with me? So if you read that nobody's complained yet. They're on this journey. They had to go a little bit of a long route. They're on this journey. And 13:18 says, so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. And what that really showed me is, man, when I came out, I was so ready for battle. Like, you guys are going over different countries. I was so ready to do that when I got saved. I was like, man, send me to wherever. Third world country, I'm gonna save them all. Just what you put inside of me, I'm gonna go save them all. You ever felt that before? I haven't been over there yet. Oh, man. So they were baby Christians, ready for whatever. So we finally make it to the Red Sea. 14:10, I'm gonna jump over to 14:10. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. So what had happened right here, let's not go any further. So Pharaoh all of a sudden was like, come to realization, I have let all my slaves go. My people don't know how to build what they know how to build. I've lost all my workers. And he's freaking out and he's like, oh my gosh. And God hardened his heart. So now he's chasing them. So in there, the Egyptians were marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. So here's where they're at. They marched up, they seen the Red Sea, and they're like, okay, we can go around this. God's providing. They're cool, they're camping out, everything's good. All of a sudden, it wasn't so good, because then they turn around and they see Pharaoh's army with all his men right behind them. Now, thank God he went behind them and stopped them. But now they've got the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army, who can easily kill them because they're scared and they're not used to battle, right behind them. Now what do you think they're thinking? I'd be scared. When you and I get out of the world, the enemy is going to come after you. This is exactly what Pharaoh does. He wanted to bring them back into bondage. He wanted to put them right back where they were. What is Satan going to do? You get saved, you're a baby Christian, felt very little protection, you're not ready for the battle, you're not armed yet, you haven't been trained yet. Man, you just, and now you're got some opposing enemies right there about to slaughter you. You feel like, I'm done. Super easy for them to overtake them, so they're just fearful and scared. I mean, they're the most powerful army in the world. And 14:11 says, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Why do you think they turned so quick to Moses?
He was there.
He was there? They didn't hear anything from God, did they? Yeah. They didn't hear anything from God. How quick are we to turn to people when we don't hear from God and start blaming them for the things we do? They didn't see God's immediate response. So they questioned his character. You guys ever been there? Oh, I know I have. And they started to blame Moses and others because they find themselves in a place they don't want to be. And they wanted to make it somebody else's fault. They started thinking it was better to live in the world as a slave than to follow God. Man, they've only been gone a couple days. And already they're like, maybe we should just go back. Maybe we should just turn back. Does that resonate with anybody? So many of us are so quick to give up on God's promise and go back because it doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to. It's harder than we thought it was supposed to be. Oh my gosh. I stand before you today because I didn't give up. I'm a youth pastor because I didn't give up. I've been through some really tough things, but I didn't give up. Now, have I given up? Yeah, I've given up a bunch of different things, but I never gave up on God because he never gave up on me because I know what he brought me through. I've been blessed with a really good family. A bunch of them are sitting right here. They didn't give up on me either. I failed when I owned a Christian club because I wanted to save Stillwater. I was broke when I lost it. Both my mom and my daddy were just so proud of me. Oh man, it was so hard to tell them that I'm closing. I thought they'd be so disappointed. They both just smiled and was like, we're just so proud of you, you're trying. You're giving your all. Just want to tell you guys, please, never give up. So they're crying out, they're upset. In 13, Moses answers the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. He gives us everything we need right there in life. Let's go through it. So what should we do we're being attacked, like me right now, and the situation looks impossible, first thing, you got to cry out. First thing he done, he turned to God. He didn't start blaming the people. He didn't start blaming the situation. He turned straight to God. The second thing, don't fear. It says it right there. Because if you fear, what do? You panic. I fear all the time and I panic. I mean, if you're driving down the road and somebody pulls in front of you, I mean, you panic sometimes. You fear you might yank off to the road or cause a bigger accident. The third thing, we shouldn't move. You feel like you should. You feel like you got to do something. But he tells us in 14, says, the Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still. So right now we're standing with the Egyptians behind us, the Red Sea in front of us. And God could have took this moment and just opened the Red Sea and parted it, and they could have parted and they could have just walked right through, but he didn't. He told Moses to raise his staff, didn't he? So in Exodus 1:22, says, Pharaoh did something to the Israelite babies. Does anybody know what he did? I thought this was pretty neat. So now we have the Red Sea parted. Israelites walk through, they're on dry land. Here comes the Israelite, or the Egyptians. They're coming through. I'm sure you've seen the movies where they're just marching through. They're coming through. They're coming after him. They're like, oh, you know, they're freaking out. They're coming through. Boom, waters come in. So they died by water, right? How was Pharaoh killing the babies? He was drowning them. So the beginning of Exodus, it tells us what Pharaoh was doing with the babies. Now we're in Exodus 13, and God takes care of them the same way that they were taking care of the babies, his babies. What do you think God's going to do to your enemies? He's going to take care of them for us the same way. He can bring you through the impossible situation that looks like it has you trapped. That thing that seemed that you couldn't walk through without God, it's impossible. But with him, all things are possible. In Exodus 14:31, it says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Has anybody seen Will do anything here? Have you seen his heart? Has he led you through something? God's going to continue to use him in our lives because he's putting God first. Him and Melissa, they have shown me so many things in my life. They have led me through things in my life, my family. I've seen healings go through them so many times for all of us up here. Will's not God, but he's in our place and our Moses that we get to follow. And then what do they do as soon as that happens? 15 says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Why do we sing? Why is it before church and after church we sing? Is it just something that we're just used to doing? We see everybody else do it, so that's just what we do? It's worship, but why? What is it inside of you that makes you want to sing? We could do so many other things.
It feels good.
Feels right?
Yeah.
I thought it was so amazing that right after they started singing, I want to say it like this. It's where we're all in union with each other and a filling of the Holy Spirit together. When you get filled, it's like this. When you get filled with something. Okay, let me say it like this. When I walk into church, sometimes I don't feel like just being bubbly and singing. But there's something that it ignites inside of me. I'm like singing, I'm like, all right, Lord, holy, 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 holy. And then it's like, stop. Stop just saying words. It's not just words you're saying. And then this connection happens. Because I just start really praising him and I forget about the stuff that's happening. And this connection happens. Next thing you know, man, you're just filled. Yeah. Let's relate it to the world. Drinking alcohol. If you took one sip of alcohol, does it do much to you? Not really. Maybe to a baby, but nothing to you. But man, you drink over and over and over and over and over, it's going to do something to you, isn't it? It's going to fill you up and something's going to happen, right? The word's the same way. When you come here and you're doing the right things and you're reading your word and you're singing to God and you're praying to God and you're speaking to God, you're going to get so full that the Spirit's going to be so overwhelming in you that it's going to start flowing out. And that's what I want. I don't want to have this mediocre, half-Christian life that I'm really not doing much. I want to be so full that when people around me that they're getting God, yeah. Not me. Yeah. I want to be so full that my pastor can say, you know what, I know you can handle this when I'm gone. Go ahead and speak on stage for 2 Sundays. That he can trust me that way. I want to be so full that when I walk through the doors, you feel a difference because it's what God's done inside of me. I want to be so full that when I leave this church, people see me, they go, you're different. What is it about you that's different? I want to find out what's about you that's different. Who wants to be that full in this place? I want to drink so much of him that I don't have room for anything else. I want to feel so much of his power and his peace and his presence and his joy that I have no room for any of the hurt. I'm going through a really tough time in my life with my wife hurting and what's going on in me. It doesn't bother me at all. Not one moment have I worried about this. It's so weird. But because I still feel his presence and his peace, and he's going, I got you. I got you. It's just an attack. And what you're going through is just going to help somebody else out. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be that way in your life. He's attacking our finances, physically he's trying to attack us, but he's not going to attack this. He can't get to it unless I let him. That's the thing, he can't get to unless we let him. I'm not letting him in my life. In Psalms 69:30-31, says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns of hooves. How does that even do anything for you? Because what it's saying to me, it pleases him more than sacrifice, praising God. We're talking about praising God right afterwards they praised God. He wasn't asking for a sacrifice, but when they started praising him, oh man, you know how it is when you're at something, you start singing and excited about something to get going. I mean, we do it in worldly things. How much greater is it here? We have to understand the importance of singing, guys. It is so important for every one of you that's here today that comes in the door to sing. Why is it important for you to sing? Because I promise you, if there's 3 people singing, there's an anointing in this place, but not like there is if there's 10. Or 20 or 100. And the person next to you needs to hear you sing. Some of us probably don't need to be heard as much as others. But the thing is they need to see you worship. And don't worry about how you sound. He gave you the voice. That's his fault, right? I mean, seriously, it doesn't matter. It matters your heart. I've heard a lot of people sing that don't need to be singing out loud, but they are, and it inspires me. Because if they can sing in that way to God, man, what? I gotta give it up, because if they're feeling that, I wanna feel that. Yes. Have you ever seen somebody singing? You're like, woo, they got it. They got it. Well, they don't get it because they're just standing there going, Lord, thank you. They get it because, man, they're just letting him have it. They're not caring who's around them. And you know, men, we're the worst at this. We're like, and the women are just praising and crying and weeping. And you're like, oh, I want to feel that, but I'm just going to stand here. I've been there, I know. That's why finally I just said, you know what, I don't care what I look like. I care so much more about connecting with him than I do about somebody else seeing me a certain way. If I get on my knees and I cry out to God, People can think, oh man, he's going through something bad. Or they can go, wow, I wish I was brave enough to do that. We got to have that inside of us. Stop worrying about what other people think. Because then you're putting them as your God. That'll hurt. Singing takes the truth of God in words and combines them with a melody of or a tune that has the ability to touch and arouse the emotions of a person in the direction of God. It can help the direction of God. By you coming here and an open your mouth and singing praise to him can help the direction and help move with somebody. Exodus 15:22. Then Moses led the Israelites from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. What's going to happen next? They're on this cloud nine. Enemies are gone. Nobody behind them. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Moriah, they could not drink its water because it's bitter. Can you imagine 3 days without water? People die without water in 3 days. They're walking in a desert with each other with like a million people going through this desert. They finally find water and they can't drink it. It's bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Now, are they going to God? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw the wood in the water, and the water became fit to drink. It was sweet, it says. Huh. So they grumbled to Moses. Does Moses get mad? No. Right after he showed him all this deliverance, he gives them this to have to go through. Let's put it in modern day terms. We come here, we had an amazing service. You had something wrong with your body. Somebody, the lead team's up here, you came up after service, there's a move of God in this place, the worship was amazing, the preaching was just phenomenal. You had something wrong with your body, you come up here, you get a healing. I mean, you're just weeping, something's wrong with your back or whatever is going on, you get healed. Oh my gosh, you've had a move of God and it's just been amazing. You leave the doors, your kids come with you, you're heading home, your wife goes, what are we gonna eat? You're like, I don't know, what do you wanna eat? You're still just fired up, I don't know, let's figure it out. And your kids are like, well, we're hungry. Give us some food, we're hungry, what are we gonna eat? So you're like, all right, I'll get you something. We're just gonna eat whatever, you know. And then your wife kind of gets frustrated. And then you kind of get irritated because you don't know what to get because there's nothing in the fridge or something like that. You stub your toe, maybe said a word you shouldn't have said. You went from 30 minutes ago, this amazing feeling of God and what he's doing, to 30 minutes later, you're almost broke. And everything that you just got, you feel like I've just let it go. I mean, you haven't let it go. We've just changed our location. That is all we have done. Why can't we take that with us? Why can't we take it to our house? You got to eat, I understand that. Now, we have to give them some grace. They're crying out. It's been 3 days in a desert. They haven't drank. So we got to give them some grace, because I can guarantee if I go 3 days without drinking water, I'm going to be a little bit of a bear, and I'm going to be looking at somebody too. But they were, Moses and them were all together, right? I mean, he was in front of them leading them, but they were together in all this. Moses seen the same thing they did. They were standing on the same ground. They took the same trail. He's at the same place where he's thirsty too. But what does he do? He doesn't look to them. He looks to him. And he cries out to him. And then God shows him wood. Now, if he was connected to God, he sees the wood to throw it in the water to feed everybody, to give everybody something to drink, right? But if he's connected to them, they didn't see anything. I mean, your answer is a piece of wood that you're putting in the water? I mean, that's only by God. So they've already complained. God's brought them out. He's took care of all their enemies. He throws the wood in the water. Now it's sweet to drink. So now they've got water to drink. So they've seen these miracles, and you're thinking, man, how many times can they complain? I mean, how many miracles have we seen in our life, and how many times has God came through, and how many times do we get to complain? there's two responses to the same situation, because complaining is just simply easier, but it doesn't produce anything. Prayer is harder, but it gets results. We go right back to what we need to do. We need to call it to him. Complaining is more natural because it's of the flesh. Praying is against the flesh. There's no response from God after 24 of them complaining. But in 25, when Moses calls out, God immediately responds. Anybody seeing the correlation here in our life? Pretty simple, isn't it? So hard to do, though. I mean, so easy to not do these things and immediately get frustrated at the situation and say, going, whoop, I simply have to do this, and that's it. That's how easy it is. My kids are going through something. I don't know why your teacher did that. I don't know why, you know. No, let's pray about this. What happens when you say that to your kids over and over and over and over in their life? What do they naturally do? They do exactly what you do. And if you don't do it, but you expect them to, is that going to work? Man, no, it's going to be so confusing to them. If you're wanting them to go to church and you're not going to church, or you want them to worship and you're not worship, or you want them to go to youth camp or kids camp, but yet you're not going to an adult anything or whatever, I mean, we're telling them one thing and doing another. The Red Sea represented a situation that God takes you through. The water of Marah is a situation that needs to be changed. God can take you through something. God could change the situation completely. Guys, if we don't pray, we don't see what God can do. I got here a lot quicker than I thought it was. Awesome. Sweet. So in 16, we're going to talk about manna. I'm going to read quite a bit. So 16, we're going to read 2 through 6. In 2, it says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So not only are they against Moses now, they brought his brother into it. They needed more to grumble against. They haven't learned their lesson. They've been watching him cry out. They haven't learned their lesson. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. I mean, you're still alive. I just don't get that one. It's like, you still got a chance. You're still alive. I know you're hungry, but really? There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly. To me, it's like, do you think that you just sit around and got to do whatever you wanted at home? You're oppressed. You had to do exactly what Egypt told you to do. You didn't have the authority in your life. They had it over you. And in 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Remember the first song we sang? The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test thee and see whether they will follow instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. And 6 says, so Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that this was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Now, they were grumbling against Moses, but he turned around and said, it wasn't me that you're grumbling against. He knew. What was the condition of the people at this moment? They were hungry, right? They were grumbling. They were probably exhausted. They probably felt helpless. I mean, they're following Moses, this guy, and he's led them the whole way, and they don't know the next direction. They're not getting the instructions straight from God. They were kind of rebellious. They were doubtful. They were complaining. Most importantly, they were lost. What condition were you when God found you? Let me read those again. They were hungry, grumbling, exhausted, helpless, rebellious, doubtful, complaining, and lost. I know I was there. God hears their cries just like he does yours. Not just because they're an assembly and big group of people, He made you. Says he knows every hair on your head. She just didn't really want to count when he made me. But he cares about you. Think of the nature of the bread. As it talks about manna, brings down this manna. Where does the bread come from? It says it comes from heaven. The bread appears from the dew. It was not a source of dust, because dust represents man. The dew represents life. The dew is our representation of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Just like dew, Jesus came quietly into the world and watered, gave life to us like the dew does to the earth. Did God ask for payment for the bread? He didn't. He just gave it freely, just like our salvation. It's yours. You just have to pick it up. You don't have to accept it. They could have stayed hungry and died. You don't have to accept it. God met their need the same way over and over and over. Do you know how long he gave them manna for? 40 years. 40 years. He's going to meet your need over and over and over. It's our example. It's your example in the Word. Every line is your example of what he'll do for you. And then how are the people supposed to respond? Were they just supposed to open their mouth and it land in their mouth and like catch it as it was coming down? No. They had to bend down and pick it up. They had to kneel down as before God. They have to posturize themselves straight down like this. They had to acknowledge that they couldn't do it without him. They couldn't make it without him. You can't make it without him. You might think you are just because you're breathing, but he gave you that breath. The water you drink, the food you eat, that's from him. We can't make it without him. And he doesn't make them travel very far. He brings it right to them, just like he does us. It's right here today. You're sitting in your chair and it's right here today. And if you don't know God, it's for you today. This is your manna to pick up. It's right there for you today. Salvation is that easy to just accept that Jesus is the Son of God and died on, it's just that easy to accept Jesus as the Son of God, that he died on the cross for us. And they had to go, and he asked them to gather as much as they needed, right? And some would gather a lot, and some would gather a little bit. And when they gather a lot, they used a lot. When they gather a little bit, they only need a little bit for the day. It's kind of like our Word. Sometimes I need to read a lot of Word, and sometimes, man, I need God to show up so mighty. I need to be in prayer, and I'd be listening to worship music all day long, and I need it so bad. And other days, man, just a scripture verse is enough. Man, I just feed off of it all day long. Another thing I want to say about the music that we listen to. When you guys listen to music over and over and over and over, you know it does something inside of you. So if you're listening to certain words in those songs that might not be Christian, more secular, what do you think that's doing inside of you? How about put it like this? I got little kids here. What if I let them to listen to some of the songs I listen to or have listened to? What does it do inside of them as they develop? Right. But we'll listen to that stuff in front of them. It blesses me so much because I'm so thankful to have a wife like I have, because she's like minor like me. We play Christian music all the time. Wow, I'm out of time. And in playing Christian music, my kids, that's what they just know. Man, they're always humming or singing or something like that. You know how blessed I feel to have my kids singing those things? It's so important for us to listen to that. If you want to come up, you can. I'll try to wrap it up pretty quick. I want us to have the mindset that he has something to show me today that I wasn't ready for yesterday. And he asked them to do something. He said, together at first thing in the morning. What is that telling you? What's your first fruit in the morning about? I know you're tired. But what's your first fruit about? What's your first thing you do? Jump out of bed, take off in life? How do you think it would look if you posturized yourself down and you showed him, I can't do it without you. I need your manna today, or it's about me. I need you now. I can't breathe without you. I need you right now in this moment. I'm not feeling it and I need it. We have worship, we have prayer, we have the word. I can promise you, if you'll simply just open your Bible and read, he's gonna direct you. We went through Exodus, something that happened 5,000 years ago, and I just took you through a couple chapters, and I know every one of you could go, well, that was me, I've been there. Same thing's gonna happen to every book of the Bible you open to. It's there for you. It's the living word. Oh my gosh. What do you think the knowledge is in there for you that you get to learn and grow and share with your kids? And if you want a question, we have older people here that can help too. They've went through this. They can help you understand where to go. I'm having an issue with this. You know, if you just look right here. Or maybe the word isn't what speaks to you. Maybe you just need prayer. You wake up in the morning and you get straight on your knees and pray. Before my feet hit the floor, I've already prayed to God because I don't want to start my day, because I know what happens when my feet hit the floor and I go. I'm a little irritated at my kids or my wife, a little easier. I don't irritate easy, but I do irritate. And I promise you, I'm going to irritate a lot easier. A lot easier if I don't have him with me. Can everybody close your eyes? Men, please listen to my words. I just felt this. Don't hold back. Your family needs you. There's some men in here holding on that the world just seems sweeter and it's just what you know. They've never fully just really given it to him. There's something about a man when he fully gives it to God and he lets God have everything, it will change his family's dynamic. I'm not saying it don't when the wife, but I'm saying something about a man when you're the head of the household and you're supposed to be leading your family. Please listen to these words and don't miss this moment. Your family is counting on you. God puts you in that position for a reason. Don't miss that. Don't miss what he has inside of you, what he's birthed inside of you. He's made you the protector. Being a protector means you got to be prepared. So I'm challenging you this morning as a man, be prepared for what your family needs. Your wife and your kids need it. Lord, I pray right now that you would just rain down manna on everybody that's here. Thank you for this opportunity just to listen to your word, to grow with you, to be who we are, to have breath. Let us not leave this place the same as we came in. Let us have a fire that's burning inside of us that we show the world. Let the seats that are empty not be empty next week because we step out and show the world who you are. Because when people see us, They see you. When people feel your presence in us, they want to be a part of that and they want to find out what that is. Let a fire ignite in each one of us that shows up in this church, that shows up in our life, that shows up in our family. Don't let us miss this moment. With every eye closed, I ask if you don't know Jesus and you've never made him your Lord and Savior, this is your moment between me and God. I'm the only one looking. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, men. Don't be scared. This is your moment. All right, you can put your hands down. It's very simple. Very simple prayer. Everybody repeat after me. Father, I accept you into my heart. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And I believe that Jesus is your son and he died on the cross for me. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys got something out of this morning, because I got something out of this. And I'm so thankful for each one of you in my lives. I'm so thankful for what God's about to do in this church. And I hope something lit inside of you this morning. Even if you've been saved your whole life, there's still more out there for you. Love you guys. Seriously, I mean that. I love you guys. Thank you so much for everything. All right, I'm gonna pray us out. And I believe that when we leave this place, we're not the same. When you step out those doors, you got something new with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment that our pastor and his wife get to go get filled. Thank you for this moment that we get to hear your word. We get to grow with you. Let us not miss when we wake up in the morning. Let you be the first thing on our minds. Let us not miss the opportunity to share your love and your word with somebody today and tomorrow. Let us invite somebody back, because we know what the greatest thing is. We have it inside of us. I don't want my brother to be in hell. And that's the reality. If I don't speak up, I'm allowing him to have an opportunity to make another choice. But when I speak up and I show your love in me and who you are in me, I give them the opportunity to get closer to you. Help me plant seeds in people's lives all weekend and help you just water them. We love you and we thank you. And everybody said? That was weak. Everybody said? Thank you. So much better. All right. I love you guys. You guys are dismissed. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to bring the prayer team down. Thank you, Mike, up front. If you guys have anything that you need prayer for, please come up here to the prayer team. Let them know what's going on. We'd love to pray with you guys. It is super important for us. You guys are dismissed.